The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. God gives gifts and talents to each of us that we need to use.
God has uniquely equipped each one of us for certain types of service. Pastor Greg Laurie says our strengths are given on purpose.
One is a great visionary, but not very good with the nuts and bolts. Another is a detail person. Everybody has a role to play. And every one of you has talents and gifts that are given to you by God that you must discover, cultivate, and use for His glory.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings a message from the book of Esther, and we'll begin in just a moment. But Pastor Greg, it's hard to get our minds off of what's going on around us right now, you know?
Yeah.
But the Lord doesn't want us to be anxious, does He?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. You know, the Bible says, don't worry about anything or be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So let's try to get perspective. You know, one thing that I've shared with folks as we're facing this pandemic called coronavirus together is, number one, we need to be practical. Follow the guidelines of the CDC. Number two, we need to be prayerful. Let's be calling on the Lord to arrest and turn this virus away. And thirdly, we need to be proclaiming, that is, telling others about Jesus. And fourthly, we need to have perspective. Just be reminded of the simple fact, God is still on the throne. The Lord is in control, and we're going to get through this together.
All right, good encouragement. And a reminder that there's so much good encouragement online, including an intimate weekend worship experience with Pastor Greg called Harvest at Home, found at harvest.org. Check it out. Well, as Pastor Greg brings his main message today, we'll see how Esther was a woman who was at the right place at the right time for such a time as this, and we can follow in her footsteps.
Turn to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, and the title of my message is The Plot Thickens. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we're so thankful to be your children because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us at the cross of Calvary. We pray as we visit this story again and look at this heroic young girl, that we will be inspired, both men and women, to make our stand and speak out for what is right. So help us to see how this applies in our life. We commit this time of Bible study to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pick up where we last left off. King Xerxes, the ruler of the mighty Persia. He had a lot of women. That snap his fingers and a woman would be there. But apparently the king wasn't satisfied with just sexual pleasure. He wanted love. He wanted a companion. He wanted someone that actually cared about him. The king wanted a queen. So the word went out and all these girls applied. The ancient historian Josephus believed there was 400 contestants. And these girls had to be virgins. They had to go through an extensive makeover. They had a team of stylists there that would do their hair, makeup, and help them to become as appealing as possible to the king. And then the winner would be chosen to be the queen. And that's where we pick our story up. Esther chapter 2, drop down to verse 5, and let's read together. Now, at the fortress of Susa, there was a certain Jew named Mordecai, son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a descendant of Kish and Shimei. His family had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, along with King Jehoiakim of Judah and many others. This man had a beautiful and lovely young cousin named Hadassah, who was also called Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. So we'll stop there. So standing out from all of these gorgeous Persian women is the beautiful Jewish girl named Hadassah. She was an orphan adopted by Mordecai, so he became a father figure to her. Most likely, her aspirations in life would have been to marry a nice Jewish boy, raise a family, serve the Lord, and live in relative obscurity. But God had another plan for Esther for such a time as this, reminding us that there are no coincidences in our life, only providence. So all of the beautiful women of Persia are paraded before King Xerxes. And he chooses Esther. Look at Esther 2, verse 16. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter on the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. God was at work. Now, if this was a fairy tale, it would end right here. Poor little girl becomes the queen, and they lived happily ever after. But this is not a fairy tale. This is a Bible story. And Bible stories are true. They're history. And so here's what happened after that. The plot thickens. As Esther was made queen, her cousin Mordecai was made a counselor to the queen. And Mordecai made Esther promise him that she would not reveal her national identity. In other words, she was not to say to the king or anybody else that she was a Jewish girl. Now, if that was good or bad, we'll deal with in a couple of moments, but that's the way it was, and she went by that. And one day, Mordecai uncovered a plot by two of the king's guards to kill him. He revealed it to the king. The guards were arrested. They were executed. And he was never rewarded for that or acknowledged for that. And, you know, that happens in life sometimes, doesn't it? You know, we do something for someone and we don't get the credit. Maybe it's your idea and someone else stole it and they got all the glory for it. Or at your workplace, you choose the path of honesty and integrity and you don't advance, while the person who chose dishonesty and scheming did advance. And you're saying, this isn't fair. It's not right. Well, hold on now, buckaroo. It's not over till it's over. As we're going to see in the book of Esther, how things played out in the big picture. Because among other things, the book of Esther is about reaping what you sow, both good and bad. So not only was Mordecai not recognized, but a wicked man was elevated. Instead, enter the villain of the story, Haman. Let's go to Esther chapter 3, verse 1. Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, over all the other nobles, that would include Mordecai, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by because the king had commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Now, Haman probably fawned and flattered his way to this position. And the command is given by the king. You better bow down before him. This is a very insecure man. This is a very ambitious man. Because if you're a good leader, people will follow you naturally. You have to yell at people all the time or force them to do what you want. You're not a good leader. So Haman, you better bow down before me and show me some respect. So everyone's bowing, bowing, bowing. And there stands old Mordecai. I'm not bowing. And Haman sees him and says, well, why aren't you bowing? I won't bow before you. Now you say, well, why was this? Well, it's interesting because there was sort of a blood feud between Haman's clan and people and Mordecai's clan that goes back a long ways. It's found in verse 1. King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Now we read that and it doesn't mean a lot to us, but back in 1 Samuel is the story of King Saul. He was told by the prophet Samuel to kill the Amalekites. They were the lifelong enemies of the Jews. And in fact, the Amalekites had attacked Israel after they left Egypt. So that's how far back this feud went. So Saul partially obeyed the prophet. He killed most of the Amalekites, but he allowed Agag, their king, to survive. And the Agagites were the descendants of Agag. So Haman was an Agagite and Mordecai was a Jew. And so Mordecai is so ticked off that Haman won't bow before him. He decides not only is he going to die, but all of his people are going to die. This is payback time. It's sort of a precursor to Hitler's final solution. Anti-Semitism. Let's destroy the whole Jewish race and wipe them off the face of the earth. So Haman goes to the king with his wicked plot. And amazingly, the king goes along with it. Says, yeah, okay, go ahead and wipe them out, because Haman promised the king a bunch of money in return. We'll get into that next time. But incredible turn of events and a lot more to discover in this book, and we'll get to that later. And so what do we learn from what we've seen so far? Number one, when God tells you to do something, do it. God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites, including their king Agag. He didn't do it. Now Haman is a descendant of that man, and Mordecai is dealing with it years later. You know, sometimes the Lord will speak to our heart and he'll tell us to break off a relationship with someone that's pulling us down spiritually. Do you know someone like that? Someone that whenever you're around them, they just pull you down. Or worse yet, you're the person pulling someone else down. I just saw a wife nudge her husband. I'd like to know what's going on right there. But see, I have eyes. I can see you. I don't know if you know that. I see everything. I see it all. Yes. Maybe it's giving up something that's taking over your life. Something you regarded as an innocent pleasure that's now becoming something of an addiction. It could be a substance, alcohol, drugs, but it can be other things that you just become obsessed with, and that thing or that pursuit is becoming more important to you than God. Maybe it's the Lord speaking to your heart and telling you to take a bold step of faith and do something you've never done way out of your comfort zone. Start that little Bible study at work with just you and a couple of friends and see what the Lord will do. Go engage that person that seems so hostile with the gospel, whatever it would be. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it. Coming back to King Saul, the prophet Samuel said to him in 1 Samuel 15, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to God? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, Saul said, well, I'll offer these offerings. It'll be okay. No, God told you to do something and he didn't do it. And sometimes we'll say, well, I'll go to church to a midweek service this week and I'll give, you know, a little more in the offering and I'll receive communion, whatever it is. You think some little thing, some ritualistic thing is going to take the place of what God really wants from you, which is your obedience? When God tells you to do something, do it.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Pastor Greg, one of the things radio does best is gives people immediate information.
Yeah.
Well, we're drowning in information right now.
Yes.
But we want to use radio to deliver a dose of hope in the midst of this concerning information, don't we?
Yeah, we really do, Dave. You know, I think of COVID-19 like a storm. And a storm is a beginning and a middle and an end. And we're going to come to the end of this prayerfully very soon. But until that day, I want you to remember something. Jesus is with you in your storm. He's on board your little boat that's being tossed back and forth by the waves of information that can cause a person to panic very easily. And you remember that when the disciples were at sea, the Sea of Galilee actually, and there was a great storm, they called on the Lord who came up on deck and he rebuked the storm. And then he said to them, oh, you of little faith. And so we need to have faith. Listen, faith needs to take the place of fear, and prayer needs to take the place of panic. So let's be looking to the Lord right now. And remember this, better to be in a storm with Jesus than anywhere else without him.
Yeah, great reassurance. Well, Pastor Greg continues his message now.
Point number two. God gives gifts and talents to each of us that we need to use. God gives gifts and talents to each of us that we need to use. For Esther, it was extraordinary beauty. Not everybody is extraordinarily beautiful or incredibly handsome. I mean, let's just deal with reality. Some are given these abilities, some are not. I've had to struggle with this my whole life. Why are you laughing? Gee, that kind of hurt. No, I meant that as a joke. Maybe one of the downsides of being beautiful as a child or a young lady, an older lady, a young man, and so forth, is people always comment on your attractiveness. She's so beautiful. You're so handsome. And, you know, they hear that. And some of these people sometimes can end up being rather shallow because they always kind of got to the front of the line and had some advantages early on. And God wants us to develop the inner person too. I've never shared this before, but because it sounds kind of prideful, but I was offered a very nice modeling contract. It was a hand modeling contract. Did you know there are hand models? So I was contacted, could we use your hand on the cover of our magazine? I quickly agreed until I found out the name of the magazine, Old and Decrepit. That was very depressing. I made that up. Okay, so Esther had inner character to match her outward beauty, and she had great courage, as we'll see soon. But maybe you have another gift given to you by God. It's not necessarily beauty, but it's brains or musical talent or artistic talent. Then again, you might be good at crunching numbers. One is a great visionary, but not very good with the nuts and bolts. Another is a detail person. We can't have all visionaries running around, and we can't have all nuts and bolts people running. Everybody plays a part. Everybody has a role to play. And every one of you has talents and gifts that are given to you by God that you must discover, cultivate, and use for His glory. We're told in 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the gift that has been given to you. Or as another translation puts it, keep it dusted off and in use. Use your gift. You might say, well, Greg, how do you discover what your gift is or your gifts are? And as I pointed out before, sometimes it's literally through a process of elimination. Walt Disney, you probably heard of him, quite a visionary himself, used to tell a story about a little boy. And as the story went, a circus came to town and they were going to have a parade. So the bandmaster needed someone to play trombone. So the little boy signed up. They hadn't marched a block before the horrible racket coming from his horn caused two old ladies to faint and a horse to run away. So the bandmaster went to the boy and said, why didn't you tell me you couldn't play the trombone? And the little guy said, well, how did I know? I never tried before. You know, sometimes finding out what you're good at requires you finding out what you're not good at. So you volunteer for that job nobody else wants and say, I'll do that. Okay, maybe that's not my gift. But another area develops. Trust me when I tell you, I never aspired to be a public speaker. Like most people, I was afraid of speaking in front of crowds. And I remember a class I had where I had to get up and give an impromptu speech and I almost had a heart attack. And I got an F in that class, by the way. I like to work behind the scenes. I was more into design and graphics and things like that. But when I became a Christian, God put a call on my life to speak publicly. I fought it. I didn't want to do it, but it was something I was sure the Lord called me to do. Maybe it was because I finally had something to say. You know, if God calls you to do that or something else, we want to take these gifts and use them for His glory. But it might be something unexpected God will call you to do. Point number three and the last point. There's a time to speak up and a time to be quiet. Verse 10, Esther 2. Esther had not told anyone of her nationality and family background, for Mordecai had told her not to. Now, was this right or wrong? It can be argued both ways. Some would say she should have identified herself as a Jew, and by not doing so, she was effectively compromising her faith. There's some merit to that argument, but there's some flaws in it as well, because sometimes you should speak up and sometimes you should be quiet. It seems sometimes some people almost speak up too much. You might be surprised hearing me say that as a pastor and an evangelist. You speak up too much. I've seen some Christians like, it's overkill. Everybody they talk to, they feel they have to give a complete gospel presentation to. It's this constant drone, you know, and that is not the best way to do evangelism. Sometimes one of the best things to do to engage a non-believer is just listen to them for a while and get to know them a little bit better. But then when the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak up. But some people are always talking, but the problem is they don't back it up with their lifestyle. So you want to live that godly life. I'm telling you, it's a huge plus for the church when Christians just go out there and they're faithful to their spouses and they keep their marriages together. And if they're a single person, they don't have sex before marriage and they work with integrity and they work hard. That's a great testimony. Do that. Be that. But then when the moment comes, speak up. And we have to give credit to Esther. She delivered when it was needed. She put her life on the line and spoke up for her people and as a result saved the nation. Yes, she saved the Jewish people. And they needed to be saved because Haman hatched a plot where they would all be exterminated. Why did Haman want to kill all the Jewish people? I think this is bigger than Haman. This is about the devil. The devil wanted to kill them. Why? Because the devil knew that through the Jewish people, the Messiah would come. How did he know that? It goes way back to the Garden of Eden, after our first parents ate of the forbidden fruit. And God said to Satan, there is coming one who will crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. So the devil knew that Jesus was coming, Messiah was coming, and he would come as a Jew. So he tried to stop Christ from coming. He inspired the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, to kill all those Jewish baby boys. He inspired Haman to come up with this plot to eradicate the Jewish race. And then later on, he entered the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Christ and to help orchestrate the crucifixion. But you know what? It was all according to God's plan because Messiah had come to this earth, yes, to love us, yes, to teach us. But ultimately, why did Jesus come? He came to this earth to die for our sins. Because we've all sinned. And Satan failed and Christ succeeded. He voluntarily laid his life down for us at the cross of Calvary and took the wrath of God on himself as he hung there in our place. And then he rose again from the dead and he's alive. And now he stands at the door of each heart and he knocks. And he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. If you would like Christ to come into your life, if you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like to be a child of God, he's just a prayer away. So let's all bow our heads and pray. And Father, I pray now for any person here that does not yet know you. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their need for you and help them to come to you and believe in you now. We would pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Did you catch all three of the practical points from today's message? If you'd like a replay, you can go online and hear the program again. Just go to harvest.org. It's a study called The Plot Thickens. Or call us and ask for a copy of the full study on CD. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, it's almost impossible to escape all the news about the coronavirus. Yep. You know, it's all we're hearing about. And it is important.
Yeah.
But God's Word has help for us that transcends pandemics and epidemics. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect time to make available your new edition of the Bible.
It really is, Dave. And I think a lot of people are intimidated by the Bible. They want to read the Bible. They don't know where to start. And so this is a Bible that's really designed for a person like that. It's almost as though we're sitting down at a table over a cup of coffee with social distancing, of course. And I'm taking you through a Bible study. I'm explaining things to you. I'm breaking it down for you, just like I do in this radio broadcast, as you are a listener and you know. So the New Believer's Bible has hundreds and hundreds of brand new notes that I have written. I've been working on this for a number of years, and it's finally out, and we're very excited about it. As a lot of us are spending more time indoors instead of endlessly watching television or being bombarded with information that can discourage you, why don't you take some time to open the Word of God?
Yeah.
Let me send you a copy of the New Believer's Bible, and it will enrich you, it will strengthen you, and it will give you hope in a time where, for some, there's hopelessness. But we have hope in Christ. One person took the word hope and made it an acronym, H-O-P-E, holding on with patient expectation.
Mm.
And you know what? The Bible is described as an anchor of hope. So get the anchor to hold you in place. Get your copy of the New Believer's Bible, and I will send it to you for your gift of any size. Now, some of you can't give a lot. I still want you to have a copy. Some of you can give more. Of course, thank you for that. Support us generously so we can continue to be a beacon of light to people who need it right now, maybe more than ever.
And in addition to the help that we're providing through this new Bible, we also offer some online help every week, every weekend, through harvest.org. Tell us about that.
That's right. We have launched a new service every Sunday. It's called Harvest at Home. And I will be sharing a message with you. We'll have a little time of worship. It's geared to the viewing audience because we can't meet publicly right now. Mm-hmm. So you can bring church into your home.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, my uncle, Fred Jordan, had a television program called Church in the Home.
Mm.
And I remember watching it as a little boy on the black and white television at my grandparents' house. Well, we're doing the same thing, but in modern times, bringing church to your home. So if you would like some encouragement in biblical perspective, you ought to be a part of it. So basically, you just go to harvest.org, and we're on live every Sunday. We start very early in the morning, and we have multiple broadcasts throughout the day and even into the evening.
Hmm.
I would encourage you to not only watch, but maybe get the app for your Apple TV, if you have that, or the Roku box. And then you can watch it on your television set and invite people from your neighborhood over, and you can all watch it together and have a church service in your own house. So go to harvest.org this Sunday and be a part of Harvest at Home.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, why not have a copy of the new Believer's Bible on your lap as you watch? Let us send you this new resource. In fact, if you request it right away, we'll include our Start to Follow resource. It covers the 7 essential basics every believer should know. We'll send you both of these new resources to thank you for your gift of any size. We really do appreciate your investment that helps defray the costs of bringing this program your way each day. So get in touch today and mention the New Believer's Bible. You can write a new beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, would you like to speak to those who'd like to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord?
I would. You know, I receive so many letters, Dave, from people from every walk of life, from successful businessmen to those who are incarcerated, to mothers struggling as they're trying to raise their children, to young boys and girls writing and saying they've made a commitment or a recommitment to Jesus, and maybe you need to make that commitment to Him right now. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Yes, you can meet God right now. And I would just ask you to pray this prayer out loud after me. And this is where you are asking Christ to come into your life. Pray with me now, if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your commandments and I've fallen short of your standards, but I thank you that you have loved me and you have called me to yourself. So I turn from my sin right now and I choose to believe in and follow you. Be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my God from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and loving me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let me just say, God bless you. You've made the right decision, and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we want to follow up with you by sending something called our New Believer's Growth Packet to help you get started living as a believer. We'll send it without charge if you've prayed for the first time today to receive Christ. Just ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet when you call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, more from our studies in the dramatic book of Esther. Hope you'll join us next time here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.